SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
The Australian share market today did rise. The ASX 200 up by 1.4%. We'll have the details with Matt Watcher from Morningstar. But first to the Reserve Bank, which did leave interest rates on hold at 4.35% and is seen to have retained its neutral bias. For more, I spoke with Jarek Kauska, a senior economist at Westpac. A lot of the market focus and that of some commentators was to see a tightening bias out of the RBA today. Did we get it?
So I think what we got out of the RBA is we did get some hawkish shifts compared to the last statement. But I think overall, the statement and the commentary from the governor remains pretty neutral, but maybe slightly less neutral than before. So let's have a look at some of the changes to sort of unpick that a little bit. I think if you start with the final paragraph in the post-meeting statement, which is always really looked at very closely, there were some changes there where the RBA noted that recent data indicate that while inflation is easing, it is doing so more slowly than previously expected, and it remains high. So that more slowly is new. And then they also say that the board expects that it will be some time yet before inflation is sustainably in the target range, and it will remain vigilant to upside risks. So that point about the board remaining vigilant has also been added in. If we look at some of the other changes in the statement, there were some points made about wages growth, how it has appeared to have peaked, but it's still above the level that can be sustained given trend productivity growth. So that's actually a bit of a shift from some of the communication that the RBA was putting out previously, where it was saying that wages growth was consistent with the inflation target if productivity growth returned to trend. Now it seems to suggest that maybe it's actually a little bit too high, even if we get trend productivity growth. And further to that, they also noted that growth in unit labor costs is something that they're watching very closely. And that's effectively wages growth adjusted for productivity. But they did add that the trend that they're seeing, which is a gradual improvement in those numbers, needs to be sustained over time if inflation is to continue to decline. And I guess if we look at the press conference, there were some other notes there where the governor was saying that it's a bumpy ride from quarter to quarter, and they're going to look at the totality of the information that they receive. But they did really note that they are committed to bringing inflation down, and they're not ruling anything in or out, and they can't let high inflation take hold. Now, if we just look quickly how financial markets reacted to that, I would say they were probably slightly less than impressed. We did see the Australian dollar actually fall slightly immediately after the statement came out, and also the probability of a rate hike has also pulled back slightly in financial markets.
So ultimately, as usual, it all comes down to inflation. The RBA is saying that services inflation is a key uncertainty. How confident, though, do you think the RBA is that rates are at the right level to get inflation down? Because what's interesting in its statement is that it said its medium-term target remains the same, and that's pretty important.
Yeah, so Michelle Bullock, the governor of the RBA, did get asked this question a couple of times in the press conference, and she did note that the board does think that rates are at the right level and that monetary policy is restrictive enough at the moment. So let's sort of unpack, you know, what are they looking at when they're thinking about that? And there's a couple of things that Michelle Bullock pointed to, including that discretionary spending in the economy is really weak and overall consumption is quite weak. And in fact, consumption per capita has been falling for a little bit of time. But the other key point that they look at is that inflation expectations remained relatively anchored. And this is measured both looking at financial market variables and also, for example, surveys of households. But I think the key point here is that inflation is just not coming down as quickly as they would like. And the labor market is easing, but that's also not easing as quickly as they would like. They did also point to the fact that conditions are restrictive on households and businesses as well, particularly smaller businesses that are impacted by bank lending rates, whereas larger businesses haven't seen quite the same amount of restriction because they do have access to financial capital markets, for example, such as equity or bond markets, where there's been less pressure placed, I guess, in those markets.
Let's talk about the federal budget. Michelle Bullock was also asked about it. It was actually the first question she was asked in the media conference. What kind of a role do you think the federal budget will play with the Reserve Bank in its meeting today and in the future?
So it's very important that fiscal policy and monetary policy do work together and pull in the same direction. And that will really help to bring inflation back down to target over time. I think if we look at what's been happening throughout this cycle, fiscal policy has been broadly neutral. So it definitely hasn't been adding to inflation, and it's been sort of broadly neutral. In particular, the federal government has managed to bank most of the upside surprises that they've seen from stronger than expected commodity prices and also a stronger than expected labor market. And if we look to what the Treasurer has been saying, the government is very conscious of the impact that they are likely to have on inflation. And they have noted that any additional support that they will provide to households will be targeted and will likely be in the form of various subsidies, which actually reduce measured inflation. So they are very conscious of the impact that they're having. I guess, you know, the broader question, though, is, you know, if you do provide some subsidies, while that may reduce measured inflation, that does provide those households with more money that they can potentially spend in other areas on other goods and services. So that is a broader question there of whether that does perhaps increase their spending capacity in other areas. But I would say generally the trend has been that the budget has been broadly neutral.
Okay, so knowing what we know from the RBA upcoming from the federal budget too, what does this all mean for the future direction of interest rates? Is a cut still the most likely move? When and why?
So if we have a look at what financial markets were pricing going into the meeting, financial markets did have around a 30 to 40% probability of actually a hike this year, which is in contrast to what financial markets are pricing for most other developed central banks around the world. Now, after the decision, what we have actually seen, though, is those probabilities have been pulled back a little bit. So there has been some volatility in the markets immediately after the decision. But right now, we're sitting at about a 10% chance of another hike this year. If we look at what market economists are broadly expecting and what our expectations are at the Westpac Group, we do expect that the cash rate will likely remain on hold for most of this year. And then we expect that the RBA will be in a position to begin cutting rates from November this year. So I think the big picture really that's important for people to take away from this is that it is likely that the cash rate will remain either at its current level for a while, or there is that tiny risk of an increase. We don't think that interest rate cuts will come anytime soon. It really is going to be a proposition for late 2024, and then through 2025 as well, as inflation continues to trend back to target.
That's Yara Kaskar from Westpac.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market reacted positively, with the ASX 200 closing up 1.44% to 7,793. For more, I spoke with Matt Watcher, Chief Investment Officer at Morningstar.
So, Ricardo, thanks. The equity market doing very well post the decision, and the currency, the Australian dollar sold off a little bit there after the decision. What that leads me to believe, and many others, is that the it's less hawkish than the markets were expecting. I think that it was a slightly more hawkish statement than we saw previously, but certainly less hawkish than the markets were expecting.
Yeah, can we go into a bit more detail? Because there were some people in the market pricing in a potential rate rise today, or at the very least rate rises in the future now. What are the chances the market is of pricing in a rate rise in the future?
So what we've got, the markets, you know, they're still pricing in a rate rise this year. I think it's, if by our calculations, it's dropped from about 45% chance of a rate rise this year to about 43%. So there's still many out there that think there's going to be a rate rise. I think generally speaking, economists out there, the consensus is that there'll actually be a rate cut by the end of the year. So there's a bit of a divergence there in views. And the RBA, I think, is very data dependent at this point in time. What we're, you know, they've got this dichotomy between, you know, really still strong employment numbers versus and strong inflation numbers, higher inflation numbers than they've been anticipating, versus weaker retail sales and consumer sentiment. And they're trying to navigate that. And I think if there were to be rate rises, that'd put a lot of pressure on the economy. So they need to tread carefully.
How do you play this as an investor if the market's saying, hey, there's a risk of a rate rise, but economists saying, hey, the next move is likely to be a cut?
Look, for us and our investment process, we really want to look through this noise. I mean, yes, yeah, there could be a rate rise, could be a rate cut. As an investor, we want to be prepared for both scenarios and make sure that we're building portfolios that can withstand a rate rise or a rate cut in the short term and really looking through to the long term. And we think, you know, in the Australian market, global markets, there's still some pretty reasonable opportunities out there to make some sound investments. There's a few parts of the market out there that are a bit overvalued, and certainly interest rate rises wouldn't help them. Some of the high-flying tech stocks may not do so well.
What do you think it is that the market is seeing that perhaps economists aren't, if they are pricing in a rate rise? How does that work?
I think there are some economists that think that there'll be a rate rise. I think that the markets are just, you know, they're really hedging their bets. I think that you know, they're if we do see inflation remaining sticky, if we do see that here and in the US, you know, the US, they've sort of put rate rises off the table. They're kind of back on the table. It's really moving or whipping around with the data that comes out. Markets are reasonably fickle in the short term. Which is kind of why we like to look through the noise there.
I know you're looking through the noise, but how is that all of that playing through on the share market today as a result?
Yeah, I mean, the share market's doing pretty well. It was doing well before the announcement at 2:30 there, and it's pushed on since. I mean, it's even starting, it's up above 77.50, pushing on towards 7,800, which is you know, pretty good rise over the last few weeks and certainly kicked on today. I think miners, banks, all doing pretty well today. You know, there's only the odd pocket of a disappointment out there.
Finally, the banks, can we talk about them for a moment? Because they've pretty much wrapped up their half-year reporting season. ANZ, the last, with a cash profit of $3.55 billion, but it was down. There have also been a number of buybacks across some of the banks. What's your take on the sector now in this environment?
Yeah, I think the two key takeaways for the sector at the moment are that, you know, margin pressures are easing. We've seen, you know, a moderation in that war for mortgages and deposits that might have heard a lot about out there. So margin pressures easing. That's obviously good for the banks. And also home loan stress, it's rising, but it's well off historical kind of alarming historical levels that we've seen before. It's rising, but it's very manageable. And so in this kind of environment, we think the banks can still, earnings and dividends can continue to grow. You know, whether we see the extent of the buybacks that we've seen recently is another question, but certainly earnings, you know, can be maintained. But given that we've seen, you know, pretty significant price rises for the bank stocks over the last 6 months and the whole market for that matter, we think that they're starting to be more fairly priced, whereas 6 months ago I would have said that some of the banks were pretty good value.
That's Matt Washer there from Morningstar.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.